Well, if you've been here over the last 3 weeks, you might have twigged that we've got stuck in Matthew chapter 13 as we've looked at a series of parables that Jesus told. A couple of weeks ago, a miller spoke about the parable of the sower, and then last week, John Seymour spoke about the parable of the weeds. And today, we've got a series of parables that Jesus gave. And these final set of parables all have something really important to say to us about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. The term is used interchangeably. Now, first of all, something about the kingdom of God. Most of us will be familiar with the Lord's Prayer. We might say it daily, or certainly we say it on a Sunday. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it begins with that phrase, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And what we're praying, what Jesus taught us to pray, is that we would see, we would work for, we would believe that the things in heaven would become the things on earth. So what are the things in heaven? Well, the things in heaven are perfection and wholeness and God's goodness, no sickness, no death, no suffering. The place that God originally intended, that is all around God, that is heaven. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're saying we want to see heaven come to earth, more of heaven come to earth. And our job as Christians is to seek to both pray for that and to practically bring it about. Jesus, if you remember in Mark's Gospel, right at the beginning of Mark's Gospel in chapter 1, verse 15, his ministry, he says, "The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good." So Jesus came to usher in the kingdom of God. He was only alive for 3 years before he died. But during that time, he gathered a small but loyal band of followers around him who sought to do his kingdom work. That's what he taught them to do. And of course, we know that after his death, that work continued. And it's grown, the work of the kingdom has grown exponentially. And so here Jesus, in using these parables, he uses a particular type of language to speak about the kingdom of God. It's language that doesn't always make sense, and but beneath the exaggeration, beneath the sometimes strange images, we see some deep truths. And I want to just highlight three things that I think Jesus is saying about the kingdom of God. Well, the first is that the kingdom of God is living and dynamic. Kingdom of God is living and dynamic. Look at that first parable that Jesus talks about in verse 31. He says, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants." He told them another parable, verse 33. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilos of flour until it worked all through the dough." So firstly, the mustard seed. Now, I guess when we think of mustard seeds, we probably think of mustard and cress. You know, sometimes we grow those as for our children, don't we? Or we buy them in the supermarket and chop up in sandwiches. But the type of mustard that Jesus is talking about was something probably called black mustard. It was still a very tiny seed, but it grew incredibly quickly. In fact, it could grow from a tiny seed to about a bush about 9 feet tall in just one season. That is pretty significant growth. So big that although it wasn't a tree, it could house birds and wildlife who would make their home there. And then in the second parable, Jesus talks about yeast. Now, I have to confess, I am not a baker, but like many of you, I have watched the Great British Bake Off, and I know a little bit about baking. And I know that when you mix a little bit of yeast into quite a lot of flour and add some water and keep it warm, so you get dough that grows it doubles in size and keeps on growing. Some of you in your Bibles, depending which version you've got, Morgan read, I think it said £60. The newer version of our Bible talks about 20 kilos or something, and other versions talk about a large amount. But the Greek word suggests this huge quantity of flour. Think of, you know, weighing out 60 pounds of flour or 20 odd kilos of flour. It's a huge amount. So if you mix yeast to that, apart from the strength that would be required, actually you'd get a huge amount of dough that would make a lot of bread. And so both of these parables, Jesus is talking about something that starts off very small, a mustard seed or yeast, but when the conditions are right, is transformed exponentially into something very large. And what he's saying is that's what the kingdom is like. He came 2,000 years ago. He started a small movement in an unremarkable part of the world. He had a few followers who were frightened after his death, didn't understand about the resurrection. And yet when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, they too were transformed, and they were so bold that they risked their lives. Most of them died for the faith that they believed in because they wanted to tell people about Jesus. And that's what's happened in the church. It started with 12 people in the Middle East, grew to a few hundred by the time that Jesus died. And now it's estimated there are 6 billion followers in the world. The work of the kingdom is that Jesus takes something very small and grows it. This week, a group of us have been away at New Wine. New Wine started over 30 years ago as the church holiday of one church, St. Andrew's Church in Chorley Wood, and they went away and had a family holiday together. And it's grown. This year, there'll be over 24,000 Christians gathering at New Wine over the 2 weeks. And of course, there are loads of other Christian festivals too, which have grown. But as well as the Christian festivals, New Wine has become a family of 3,000 churches, just like us, ordinary churches that share the values of New Wine, the values of the kingdom of God. That's just one example of how the kingdom grows. God takes something very small, a church holiday, and grows it into a movement which has national and even international influence. And you know, every healing, every answered prayer, every miracle, large or small, is a sign of God's kingdom breaking through. It's a sign of your prayer being answered when you pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's a sign of the dynamic and living presence of Jesus in our world, of being active in our world. So that's the first couple of parables. The second couple of parables tell us something else about the kingdom of God. They tell us that the kingdom of God is precious. Have a look with me at verse 44. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And then the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it." Firstly, the man finds the treasure, and it is so valuable to him that nothing's going to stop him owning it. So he reburies it and buys the whole field so that he will have the legal right to the treasure. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like that. When you discover it, you want nothing more than the kingdom of heaven. And then the other example he gives is the parable of a merchant looking for pearls, and he sees this pearl which is of greatest value, the most beautiful pearl that anyone could ever own. It's priceless. It's worth discarding all the rest for. It's worth selling everything for. And Jesus says that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's so valuable. It's so precious. It should have that kind of claim on our lives. You know, virtually all of the first followers of Jesus died
because of their faith. They died because they discovered that the kingdom of God was so precious that it was worth everything, even their lives. They were not going to deny it. They were going to sacrifice everything for it. Sometimes we sing that beautiful hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And it ends with that verse. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I think sometimes we can sing that a bit glibly, can't we? We don't sing demands an hour of my time on a Sunday, demands a couple of quid in the plate, demands getting involved occasionally with a bit of work the church is doing. We sing demands my soul, my life, my all. That's what Jesus says the kingdom of God is like. That was what the man who had treasure did. That's what the man who found the pearl of greatest price did. It was worth everything. Is the kingdom of God worth everything to you and to me? Are we like the merchant and the man who found the treasure? Are we really people who know this love that's so amazing, so divine, that it demands everything of us, and we would be prepared to give everything for the kingdom? Are we prepared to give of our time, of our talents, and of our money in order for Jesus and the kingdom of God to grow? That's a tough question, isn't it? Just think about what the kingdom means to you. Well, if those last two sets of parables were challenging, I think the last one is even more challenging. Verse 47, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. They sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away." That seems sensible, doesn't it? And then he says this, "This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and celebrate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is what Jesus says is going to happen at the end of time. It's not at all comfortable. It's not at all what we want to hear. We want to hear of God's kingdom being all about love, and everyone's going to be fine in the end. We're all going to get to heaven. So let's just live our lives and have a good time. But Jesus says here, and it says it elsewhere, and the Bible is very clear, that there will be judgment at the end of time. There will be a day that will lead to separation. Those who are part of the kingdom of God, who are living lives for Jesus, will be included, and those who aren't won't. It's not for us to judge, that's all for God. But that's what his word says, and that's what it means. So what does it mean for us, people who are already followers of Jesus? Well, I don't know about you, but I think it means that we ought to be a bit more active in trying to get more people into the kingdom of God. If we've got people in our families, our partners, our children, our parents, our siblings, if we've got people at work, people who live around us, I actually think we ought to be a bit more concerned about their eternal salvation than often we are. We kind of live a life so often that it's kind of, well, I'm all right, you know, I know Jesus, I go to church. But my heart breaks for those who I know who don't yet know him because of what he says in his word. This week, we can speak about Jesus. The Archbishop of York recently said that if Christians spoke about Jesus as much as they speak about the weather, then we would be doing an awful lot more to share the good news of Jesus. I bet all of us this last week have been moaning about the weather and talking about the mixture of unsettled weather and so on. Certainly those of us at New Wine have been. What if we replace that with talking about Jesus, talking about what we heard in church on Sunday, talking about the life that we know, talking about the things of the kingdom of God? It will open far more doors to longer conversations. Alpha is coming up in the autumn. It's a great opportunity to invite people to come and hear and talk about the kingdom of God. Now, I think every single one of us here knows people who aren't yet in the kingdom, people who might one day face that judgment, and we want them to be included when they do. Why not be praying for them now, praying that they would come to Alpha, praying that you would have the opportunity to talk to them about coming, praying that they will become a part of the kingdom of God. You know, in recent years, Alpha has been, I guess most of us have said, well, that's great that as a church we're doing Alpha, but I'll let somebody else invite people. What if everyone in this church signed up to bring in someone to Alpha? It'd be fantastic. We'd have a church packed with people discussing the things of the kingdom, raising their questions and doubts, having the opportunity to share things where they're struggling and want to believe but perhaps can't. But as well as those who we know who aren't yet Christians, I just want to say today, have you committed your life to Jesus? Have you consciously said yes to him? Paul says that if we believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and confess with our lips, you shall be saved. You see, it's both things that we need to do. We need to both believe in our hearts, and however that happens, whether it's a kind of growing awareness of growing up in a Christian home or a sudden coming to faith, it doesn't matter. We need to believe in our hearts, but we also need to say yes to Jesus. We need to confess it with our mouths. That's why it's so important that we do that, because then you can know that you will be saved, that you will be the good fish, you will be part of the kingdom of God. And if you haven't done that yet, if you know that you believe but you haven't confessed with your lips, then I want to encourage you to do that today. We're going to have a time in a moment where we can do that. So then, the kingdom of God, the kingdom that Jesus talks about, is living and dynamic. It's precious, but it will bring judgment. And the amazing thing is that whilst God is the one who does the work, God is the one who sends his spirit, he chooses to use you and me as his agents. He chooses to partner with us. He chooses to say to us, you pray that prayer for the kingdom and I'll bring it about. You pray that prayer for the sick person and I'll bring it about. You pray that prayer for the person who doesn't yet have faith in me, and I'll bring it about. You see, he uses us as partners in the kingdom of God. And each one of us here has a part to play today. So let's pray that we're going to see more of the kingdom of God. That we're going to see more of the kingdom of God in this place, in this church, in our community, in our families. That we're going to see more people come into faith. That we're going to see more expressions of the kingdom of God through our social concern and social action in this area. Let's pray that God's kingdom is going to come in all its fullness and power.